This meeting is now being recorded.
The changes from public comment have been incorporated, and the updated version was shared with everybody. Based on feedback, we finalized it, and we've now shared that with the integration panel for final evaluation on behalf of TFA IDL. So that's really the status, if anybody here has any comments, I think we can take that. Otherwise, I think we're ready to move on. Okay, it seems like nobody got comments.
No comments from me, sorry. I think it's good. I already read it. So what do you expect? Okay, good job. Good job, Sharma.
Okay, thank you. I guess it's a very mutual job by everybody. Go ahead.
Sharma, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes. I'll try to read the LHR document. I didn't get what's the issue of DNA-seq. DNA-seq and IDN, there is a problem about the key size, the KS key and ZS key size. Could we consider that inside the document of LHR?
I think that could be part of our future discussions, unless if that's not really in scope for the procedure which we are following for creating the roots of NGR. But it could have implications, you know, depending on the issue you would like to raise. It could have implications which could be considered in our work coming forward, going forward.
Okay, that's fine. There is another comment about the address size. I know that the address size in the address bar of the browser is limited to 2000 or 2024 characters. If you write a domain name in Arabic, for example, that contain a lot, many words, like in English, Ministry of Communication and Information Technology, but in Arabic, the size of the address bar will be bigger. So could we limit this inside our document? What I want to say is that could we limit the number of IDN characters used for access the website or internet?
So I think that is already limited to 63 characters per label. As far as the A label is concerned, so when we're using IDNs, it's prefixed with XN dash dash, which means that the label length has to be 59 characters. And that's already defined by RFCs from which, to which IDNA 2008 and all these other probably RFCs would comply to. So it is already given. I'm not sure if we need to repeat that again. It seems like it's not something which we can easily do in the LGR proposal. Character length we could probably add some rule, but what I can do is I can check with the integration panel and see if they have any comments on that. And based on that, we can, you know, we can either include this additional tool or we can let them do it, because this is not something which is related to Arabic script only. This is generally applicable to all IDNs. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to add something to that at the moment, that actually the thing is, putting that kind of limitation based on the Unicode character may not be easy, because the string prep, I mean, that the function that actually gets the Unicode and transform it into the ASCII version, which is the XN dash dash, it's not a fixed length. I mean, that it's not possible to say that this label has 4 Unicode characters, so 4 multiplied by 4, so the ASCII would be 16. Because it's somehow using some kind of the compression algorithm, and so actually the length is not, I mean, the length of the ASCII is not constantly related to the length of the Unicode. So I mean that, for example, if you have multiple of one character, then it doesn't actually transcode all the characters. It just says that, for example, this character repeated 3 times in this position. So actually it's not a simple transformation rule. So that's why it's not easy to, I mean, that it's not easy to define a maximum length of Unicode characters, because you can have, for example, a label with 40 Unicode characters that actually already exceed the 64 ASCII limit, or you can have a label with 50 that doesn't exceed that limit. So it really depends on a label. So that's why it's not a trivial thing to do.
Thank you for this clearance. Thank you.
No. Okay, so I think we're done with that discussion on LGR proposal. So back to you, Ali Raza.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarman, and I hope that we get approved as soon as possible. So actually, following our discussion that we had since the previous session, actually we talked about the second level LGR, and actually we found some kind of a work plan that so actually I just summarized what we've discussed from last session, that first of all the characters that we agreed in LGR and Arabic script LGR automatically will be included in the second level LGR. This is the first one. The second one is to find out the characters that actually will leave out from the MFR2 in our LGR proposal, and see that why we just exclude them from the LGR, find the principles, and then see that how we can change that principle so maybe we can have more characters included. And at last, we are just find the characters that actually outside of the MFR and inside the IDNA 2008 protocol, to see that based on the new principle, which characters can be included. So basically, this is the summary of what we've discussed. So do you have any comments on this process? Do you think that this is useful to figure out the second level LGR?
This is Sharma. I think we generally had agreement on the process from last time. So I guess unless somebody has comments on it, we can probably just move ahead and take the next step and start identifying maybe the different reasons we have excluded characters or code points from the LGR. At least document what the reasons were, and then we can take each reason and see whether it is relevant for second level or not.
Okay. I just have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
I just want to know that whether the LGR for root zone will be a subset for the second level?
Not necessarily. So we need to see how the second level comes out. As far as the code points are, yes, but that may or may not be applicable to variants. So in any case, we really need an O-level evaluation rules. So when you're talking about subset, are you just referring to the code point repertoire, or you are also talking about variant rules and O-level evaluation rules?
Mm-hmm. Okay, clear.
So I think what we are saying is that as far as the code points are concerned, the second the root zone is going to be a subset of second level. But I think it should be seen whether that will hold true for variance and whole level evaluation rules as well. It could be true, but I haven't really thought of it from that perspective yet.
So what I'm thinking is actually we have to go step by step, because first of all, we have to include all the factors in the repertoire that actually hasn't, unless we haven't think about them in the LGR1. And when we have the new sets of character, then after that, we actually need to revisit the variants, because actually now we have new characters, and maybe we have to expand the root zone LGR under variant procedures based on the new characters that we've added. For example, I mean that if we decided to have the combination marks in the second level LGR, then for sure we need to have the new set of rules for the variant. And so actually we need to first figure out the new characters that has been added, then see that each character goes into which variant table. Maybe actually one character forced us to merge two variant rules together because it just goes in between of two variant rules that currently we have in the LGR, roots on LGR. So I think now it's and also we've discussed a little bit about the universal acceptance during the last call. So actually we just agreed somehow that we need to list the issues regarding the Arabic domain names and the universal acceptance of the Arabic domain names, like the right to left issues of those kind of things. So now I think that in this call, maybe we can actually define some actions and then find a volunteer that could possibly take up those actions and just send something to the list regarding those. So first of all,
Before we go to the universal acceptance, when talking about the second level, to conclude the things, I think we already agreed that we will took the principles we have done to the root zone one by one and see if it is applicable to the second level or not. And if it's not, what the rule will be, what's a principle instead. For example, the principle which say numbers are not allowed here, we will say no numbers are allowed, and so we can use it. The principle we say we cannot use hyphen or some dashes here, we say we will took them one by one. Is that what we agreed? Or I think now, you have changed what we agreed for. I don't know if am I right or not.
Right, so this is Sharmad. So we did agree to that, and I would suggest, since we are all on the call, we can probably start some of that discussion, at least as I was suggesting earlier, that we can start listing those principles And if we can make a list, now we can perhaps share it on email with others as well and get everybody's feedback on the list of principles. And then once we have a list of principles, we then go through each one and see whether it is or it is not applicable for food zone, second level.
So basically what I was wanted to propose is we have the exclusion table in the root zone LGR, and actually we gave a reason about why we excluded that. So I just wanted to know that who can actually go through that list and then categorize it. I mean, is there any volunteer that actually go through that list and then categorize it in two or different sets of principles, saying that we have this principle this principle actually made us to exclude these characters from the root zone LGR, but this principle is not applicable for the second level, so we can remove this principle, and also so actually these characters can be included. So is there anyone that can, that volunteer to go through the list and send a report to the list so others can look at those, actually just summarize what we excluded from the root zone LGR?
So I think, I was suggesting is that we actually do it now during the call rather than offline and if somebody is willing, they can complete the list offline, but we can use this time to actually do some initial discussion at least.
Okay. So I just so who is actually connecting to, and I can share it through the Adobe, or I can just read through the characters that we've been excluded from the proposal. So I think that it would be better, because actually if everybody is joining through the Adobe, then I can share that portion of document and then the exclusion, because we
right.
have...
Sorry, this is Sarvan.
Go ahead.
So I think we can probably just start listing the reasons or principles which come while looking at that as at document as well. And then I guess somebody can go and do a more thorough comparison and make sure that we've not missed anything. So, for example, Tariq's already listed two or three things. We should probably note that. And we just go from there and keep adding to that list.
Okay. So it's a matter that how we should list that. So basically what we have is, I'm just looking at the table. If you are just open the LGR proposal, the latest version, we have 0671, and the reason is a Quranic Arabic. It's the Arabic letter Aleph Wasla, and we excluded it because of the Quranic Arabic. And then we have Arabic letter High Hamza, which is 0674. And it is look like to the Hamza combining mark 0654, and no evidence found for the active use.
Right. So we already have a couple of reasons here, right? I guess question is, who's tabulating these reasons? Would you be doing it, Ali Reza, or are you asking for a volunteer, or?
I'm asking for the volunteer if someone wanted to actually just go through their reasons. So is there anyone that can volunteer and go through the reasons? Because not much, actually. But.
Sorry, but I don't have it just in front of me now, so I cannot volunteer for it. And if someone else, I don't know.
So that's this is Ahmed. So I think we just need somebody who can list, who can note the reasons and email it to the list. Ali Raza, could you do that, or so whatever we're discussing here on the list. So for example, what I was going to suggest that one reason, you know, I'm going to type it in the chat box here. Sorry, you probably will go the way of me typing. But what I was, so one reason for exclusion is that code point is a character from Quranic Arabic. So that's one reason we've excluded. Another reason which Tariq just mentioned is that it is a digit. Another is that it is a hyphen. And then
someone just typing it in the private area. Sorry.
Let me take it to so let's see. We have a code point is from Quranic Arabic. So that's one reason why we excluded things. Second is what I said was digit, and then hyphen. So those are excluded. Another thing which is excluded is code points which are deprecated by the Unicode standard, for example. If you remember, we had a discussion on Malay Kaf. With a dot or something. There were two of those, and Unicode has a deprecated one, and they're advised to use the other one instead. Another point which comes to mind is that we've excluded all the combining marks. So that those are some of the reasons. We can keep going and I guess listing them. And what I was suggesting is that once we've listed these, we can share these with on email with everybody and get everybody's sort of further input on whether we can subdivide these categories or merge these categories or so on. And once we have a complete list of these categories, we can discuss whether to include them or exclude them from second level. So we can continue from on this list, which we have for the LGR proposal. Back to you, Varirata.
Thank you, Sarmad. Because I'm just trying to share the page here. I just wanted to make it a little bit short.
In the meantime, let me add a few more items here. So six is historic use only. We've excluded some code points because of that. So that code point is no longer used, but used to be used at some point. So it's encoded for that purpose in the Unicode. We also have code points which have insufficient evidence. So there are many of those which had to be excluded. We also have code points which have used in languages with EGIDS scale of greater than 4. So we excluded them from LGR for the root zone, but there's, you know, there could be reasons why we would not want to exclude them for second level.
Zach, these are. So, so basically, what I'm trying to do is trying to upload that portion of the LGR proposal for the root zone that actually we just excluded, and the reasons why we're excluded. And pretty much these are the things that we have there. These are the reasons over there. So so actually, we need to revisit these principles and see that which ones are not necessary for the second level LGR. So actually, we can just remove that principle. So do we have any volunteer that actually can compile this list and probably the related code points to that and share it to the list? That would be great if you can, someone from the community, and the, from the community can do that.
So I think one thing we could do is, Anirudha, you could make a call to the list for a small working group,
yep.
Which can probably help put this data together.
I volunteer to be part of this working group to make this list.
Thank you, Tarek. I also volunteer to be part of that working group to actually compile the list.
I just suggested it should be, there should be an invitation for the larger group to invite members for volunteering for this specific task. So I offer to be as a volunteer, but I would suggest that other members should be invited as well.
Yes, certainly. So I think we should send a message. So we, you know, similar to how we worked before as well, that people on the call can volunteer, but that's not exclusive. We normally would follow up with an email, and other people can also volunteer through email. So certainly. But thanks for volunteering. We lost to Ali Raza. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just trying to. So basically, what I'm doing, I just send an email with a list of the things that you I'll type it to the chat and ask for more volunteers to we go through the principles and see that what are the principles are necessary and which ones actually can be just a little bit. Liberate it or just remove it from the principal so we can have more characters. So as soon as we finish that work and also we find the related code points to each principal, then we can actually move forward. Okay. So for those who are connecting to the phone, Samad is now typing down the some of the principles. So actually, I share with everybody after the call, so everybody can see that was in the chat box. And that would be great if you're, I mean, that if you make your time available and access through the Adobe Room, so we can actually share the document and probably continue the thing that you've done for the Roadzone LGR. I mean, that using technology. So that would be also some good progress.
Right. So this is Arman. So I was actually saying that the combining marks can be subdivided. It could be, you know, we have Quranic combining marks. We have vowel marks, but also not only vowel marks, there's also some consonantal marks like a shabda. Then we have these other marks like honorifics and things like that, which are not really linguistic in their representation. They're just like non-linguistic marks in that in a sense. So, for example, to show respect or something else. And then even I think the vowel marks can be subdivided into two subcategories. So you have things like 5D, which is required marks, and then 5D2, which is a subcategory, which is optional marks within the vowel and consonantal marks.
And by required mark and optional marks is required based on the linguistics criteria, or?
Yes. So, for example, they are required marks except at least in one language which uses a script. So, for example, Madda is a required mark. Versus a Katra or a Fatha, normally not. And in Urdu, for example, the two Fatha is a required mark, but a single Fatha is actually an optional mark.
For example, Shatta or those kind of.
Yeah, so in Arabic, interestingly, from what I understand, Arabic language, Shadda is a required mark. And it seems to be less of a required mark, more optional in Urdu, from what I understand. So there are all these different variations, and we really need to discuss how to what's the principle based on which we could decide to include something like that or not. But it would be useful to subcategorize some of these general principles as well.
Okay. So, and do you think that, I just have a question here and to the list, and do you think that it's also useful that we have some kind of the domain level, not the label level, the domain level principles or guideline for the second level LGR? For example, we cannot have ASCII label under Arabic TLD. Something like this, something like the recommendations, a domain level recommendation. In addition to the on the WLE and repertoire and variants.
I think we need something like that. Well, I don't know. For example, the in numbers in Arabic countries they use I don't know what it's Indian or Eastern numbers of 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But in the West of Arabic countries, they use this real Arabic, what's called now English or what I just number. So we need to allow both or subtract both type of numbers for this second level. I don't know, maybe someone from West from Morocco, Abdelrahman, they know better than me about this using of numbers there.
Okay, so you think this is in the scope of so do you think that this in the scope, because for example, I mean a digit only label in ASCII is accepted, and also I mean that we can have digit and that digit only label under an Arabic TLD. So I mean that do you think that these kinds, I mean that do we need also touch that area, or just we are talking about the labels and domains, those issues? Because I just wanted to figure out the scope of the document that we are going to, I mean that generate. It's just the label level, or just the domain level, or the URL level? Because I think that we somehow wanted to resolve some part of the universal acceptance issue with this document, so maybe it's good to have something beyond the label. Don't know what.
So one possibility would be to just list the three levels and ask people on the list.
Yes.
So you're talking about a code point level, a label level, and then a cross-label level.
Yes. And also, Samad, you're also adding two more criteria. I mean, that Arabic script digits and ASCII digits. So actually, I think that Arabic script digits also has two categories. And that two.
Yes, exactly. This is what Tariq was just saying. I was just noting down what Tariq was saying.
Okay. Awesome. So, okay, so I think that I just sent an email to the list and just summarized what we've discussed, and also, I mean, that the Samad just typed here and that just listed in the chat box, and also, I mean, start, as we agreed, start a small working group to work on the principles and then see that which characters we can add. So hopefully we can add all the characters within the IDF 2008 soon. So then we can move to the variant sets first to finish the repertoire. And I think that it's a good way to do that. If there's no comment on this issue, I just want to talk a little bit about the universal acceptance and see that who actually is willing to be volunteer to work in that area too, and list the issues that we have for using the IDN domain name and with regards to the universal acceptance of the IDN domain, Arabic IDN domain names.
I think again we should make that call on email and see if there is interest. Obviously there are people here who want to volunteer right now that may be okay as well, we're saying we are going to make two working group announcements, one for the second level and also one for the universal acceptance, right?
Yes, exactly. And I just wanted to. I thought that maybe it's better to just be more specific about what the first, at least the first task of those small groups. I mean, the first task for the First one is just revisiting the principles, and for the universal acceptance, sub working group is just a list of the issues that it's relevant to the Arabic domain names and universal acceptance. So I just make an announcement and also, I mean, say that the group agreed that the first action item for this subgroup is this and that, if everybody agree on that. Okay, so I think that I'm pretty much with the agenda. So if there is anything, any comments from the group or some that you want to raise something or any thought that we can move forward, I'm happy to hear it before I close the meeting.
I just want to mention something. I think the Saudi Arabia team there have done a very good job about universal acceptance and email using IBN. I don't know if we can have someone from that team or that group to be part of us at this time to deal with universal acceptance. I don't know if this is possible. It may be very helpful for us.
Yes, I think that they did a pretty good job. Maybe we can reach out to Riot and see that if he or anyone from his team can help us regarding the universal acceptance. Because as Ramat said, they also, I mean, they published a paper regarding the issues with the Arabic ID and domain names and universal acceptance. So probably it's a good idea to involve them in this work too. What do you think, Ramat?
I think Abdul Rahman from the team is already involved. He's part of the TFA IDM. Yeah. So he's listening in. And if he need to invite them to contribute further, obviously, he's a channel which is, you know, he's already there. And it's a good idea to reach out to them as well.
So I also send an email to Abdul Rahman and ask if he, I mean, that if he's willing to help us in this work, because he has, and as you said, as everybody said in the group, that they have a pretty much experience on the universal acceptance and IDN email, those kind of things. So I also do that.
Yes, for Egypt, we have an interest in the wire one. That we are deploying IBM email for testing purposes, but we face a problem that not all email accounts are compatible with IBM. Okay.
And is there any way that, I mean, that you can share those experiences, or if you can give us a presentation or documents and how it works and what are the issues that they have? So I think that it would be great because I think that you are, that it's good if you can also have you in the universal acceptance subcommittee. So actually, because based on the experience that you have, maybe it's good that if you wanted to join the group, you're welcome. It's very good that we can have you on the universal acceptance subcommittee. So I just sent an email and I think that, yes, but I mean, that it's very good that if you just share the presentations and documents. So actually, it's very good to hear that. And is it something that we can test? I mean, is it a free tool or it's based on that you have to be part of the organization or something to use that tool?
Okay. Yes, I am here, but I didn't hear you well, the last words.
Okay, what I'm saying is this is the publicly available tool or, testbed infrastructure, or there's something internal for internal testing. I mean,
Yeah, this is for internal testing, but can send email to outside email account and receive an email to an IBM account.
Okay.
This can be done.
So I think that it would be a great idea if you can share the challenges that they have, if you know them, or maybe ask them to send, to join the team and also share their experience. And that if it's you, then it's very good that actually you share the experience you have, the challenges you've seen, and then we can, because actually it's just not a new thing. An IBM email is something very complicated. So that would be great if you can share it to share your experience or that team experience to the group as well.
Okay, no problem for me, but it's not really complicated. It is easy way. Just you make an IBM domain name and attach the domain name to a mailbox. No problem completely. This is the other words of ask the domain name, ask email. But the problem is that not all email client compatible with IBM, like Gmail is only transfer the domain name to the Arabic word, but the normal account, for example, Abdelmanan, can be translated into the Arabic word. This is the problem. But when I was in IEEE in South Africa, this event, I told the presenter about this problem. He told me that there is a new Unicode called UTF-A. That can handle this issue inside Gmail account. But no problem for me to share my experience with IBM email to you, or no problem for me. Okay?
Okay, that is great. And one of the things that you mentioned is exactly the usability issues that actually the scope of use of this software is very limited, and it's somehow limited, and it's not possible to widely use that. As you said, it's not possible to use it with a Gmail account. So I mean, that this is one of the issues probably that can list it out through your experience, that actually it's just limited to the small number. So I think that if you can just, that because you're working with that system and you have experience with that, so actually if you can share what are the problems that you have from using that system, and actually what actually prevents you from using that system would be great to be shared to the group, so actually we can have a better idea what are the problems we are facing and how we can resolve that.
Yes, okay. And also when I was in ICANN 54 in Dublin, I talked with my colleague about how to promote IBM names inside my region, Egypt, as we are in lack of promotion, of this promotion. He told me that he was from Ukraine. He told me that you must have a service that is built on IBM domain name, like an IBM email. But my point of view is that till now we have a lack of awareness of the people inside Egypt, or even the Arab region. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
So, if there is no more comments, can I close the call. So, if there is any comments, please raise. Otherwise, thank you, everybody, and thank you for joining the call. And also, again, thank you for finishing the Arabic proposal and send the final version to the IP. And thank you all for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.